Okay, get the emergency room ready. I've got the chainsaw. Kevin, I promise you, it's not going to hurt.
Are you sure? I know there's the word's been out that I've, broken my leg. I've, been bitten by a, bear, pterodactyls taking my eyes out and such, but it's just a sprain.
Well,
it's just a sprain.
It's looking a little rough. It looks like some gangrene might be getting in there. I've called my friend over. He's an expert in chainsaws. We're going to just take care of this for you.
Does he know Leatherface by any chance? I mean, come on, dude.
No, but he is familiar with an Army of Darkness. My friend's name is Ash.
Oh, I see. He does know something about amputation, but my leg has not been possessed by any demonic demons or anything like that. It's just a sprain I got at work. I'll be fine, bro.
We need to play better safe than sorry, because we don't want anything to get exposed to the Clifton of demonic possession. So I think we need to take the step.
All right. Well, as long as I get some cool like claw leg foot like Mad Eye Moody has, I'm game, dude. Go for it.
Okay, Ash, get the chainsaw going. Okay, well, we're ready. Let's do this thing.
The definition of fandom is the state or condition of being a fan of someone or something. There are a lot of fandoms out there. This is the place where they all come together. This is the Culture Clash.
Okay, we're back with another episode of Culture Clash. This is Kyle. I'm here in Bradenton, Florida. Kevin is on the gurney, strapped down up in Roswell, Georgia. You're ready for the surgery, Kevin?
I am ready. What is today's date? It's August 2nd, right?
Yeah, August 2nd. I know.
We're starting the second half of the year now.
Yeah, I know. It's time is flying.
Wow.
Have we been having fun?
I would say yes. We're coming up on Dragon Con here, which is
a month away,
and for those that don't know, that was where last year you mentioned to me about a little project you were working on. Do you remember that conversation?
Oh yeah, you had basically come to me asking me about, hey, I want to do some podcasting, but I need, what kind of equipment do I need? And we had that interesting, we had that little conversation, and I had a podcast idea in my head for a while. And over the next year, as I got developing, and I'm like, well, Kevin's not doing anything yet. Maybe I can talk him into doing something with me. And the rest, shall we say, is history.
Yeah, it's funny, too. I was looking back on that conversation, and it was a blur. I barely remember it. And then I remember you contacting me like, yo, dude, you want a podcast still? I'm like, oh, yeah, we had a discussion about that, didn't we?
Hey, what happens at Dragon Con stays at Dragon Con.
Not with all of our photographic evidence.
Yeah, that's what Photoshop is for.
That's right. Yeah, man, what a ride we've been on. Look what everything's been happening. I mean, we've got some good shows going on now and got some great guests. Man, this is awesome, man. I appreciate the opportunity and all the hard work you've been doing, too. I know you're doing a lot of hard work behind the scenes, and I appreciate it.
Well, everybody is, and, we've got a great group together now, and the future is bright, and it's onward and upward.
That's right, man. That's right.
Now, of course, we opened up the show. Ash is just sitting there. He's a little disappointed that I haven't actually let him use the chainsaw yet. But even though you went on the injured reserve here temporarily with a nice little ankle sprain, you've been bouncing around guest hosting a bunch of places the last week.
I have been able to, when I got back from my trip, my epic trip to Scotland.
Newfound celebrity.
Yeah, whatever.
your stylist keeps calling me, so talking about me and needing to fix my wardrobe. What have you been telling them?
Exactly. Well, it's funny. When I got back, there was when it came to social media, there was no rest for the wicked there, man. And Richard and Sarah had from Skywalking Through Neverland, our friends there, they had contacted me while I was in London, actually, to see if we could do an interview. But because of the time difference and the stuff that I had going on, I couldn't do it there. So I got on their show when I got back, and I did a great recording with them. It's episode number 130, and we talk about the Mark Hamill panel that I was at, and we go into a deep discussion about the things that he said. And it was great because, you know, Richard and Sarah are always very prepared when you guess with them, and they played some audio clips of some of the things that Mark was answering, and kind of went deep into those, including when I first asked him my first question of the panel. It was really good. It was a lot of stuff that we talked about, on some important stuff that he touched on. So if you guys can have a chance, please go to Skywalking Through Neverland and check that out. It's episode 130, and there's some other awesome things they talk about in that episode as well. And our friend Alan R. Ryan of Oz Fans Radio had me on recently, just the other day, on episode 22. He had me and my saga director, Adam Harris, guest, and we talk about the newest Star Wars news, the Star Wars Rebels panel when Thrawn was announced, Rogue One, the new Star Trek news, of course, and we talked about our favorite non-score film soundtracks. And, of course, we did another round of Connery versus Kane that Alan is very fond of doing. It's always interesting where he'll look at a movie, a certain main character, and say who would have played it best if it was cast by Connery or Kane. So, please check out Oz Fans Radio. I did a breakdown of my trip to London and the Star Wars Celebration. I think it was on episode 20. And Alan, as you know, is a huge part of our close knit of podcast friends, and his family too as well. So please check it out.
Well, now, Kevin, I do have a couple of messages for our lovely friends in podcasting. First, Mr. Ryan, you know, I let you borrow my Kevin. We've let you in the studio. Your smell is almost as hard as it is to get Clifton's slime out. So I'm still waiting for my heavy duty air fresheners. But you know, he's always welcome. And to Richard and Sarah, you know, I also let you borrow my Kevin. I think hopefully soon we're going to get you on an episode of Culture Clash to have a little Star Wars discussion roundtable. So, as always, the invite is open to you. We would love to have you here.
Yes, definitely. We're going to look at having them sometime this month.
So, well, now that you're done making your celebrity tour, are you ready to talk some news?
Yes, I am, sir. Let's do this.
Let's talk some news.
Where'd you learn to talk like that?
TV! We talk TV! You talk some TV?
I talk some TV. And now the news. Don't touch that dial.
Okay. Kevin, I'm ready for 2016 to be over because it's depressing.
Yeah, it's had its low spots. We've had a passing of a lot of famous people that we love and that are near and dear to our heart.
Yeah, and what we had another one over the last week. Jerry Doyle, who was on Babylon 5, passed rather unexpectedly.
Yeah, I didn't see this coming. I hadn't heard that he was sick. He obviously played Garibaldi on Babylon 5, and it just came out of nowhere. I didn't know he was sick, I remember hearing when Norm told us about it, and I just started rewatching Babylon 5. I'm about halfway through the second season right now, and Garibaldi is obviously my favorite character. And I'd mentioned, I think in another podcast, that Garibaldi's character that Jerry Doyle played, it was kind of the person that the viewers were kind of living vicariously through, because he made a lot of references to the 20th century. He was kind of like the Bones, you know, of Star Trek, the original series. he's the kind of everyman's guy, and he was crucial to his character is crucial too because he's the security chief, and he was always doing the investigations into a lot of the shenanigans that was going on from episode to episode. But just a great character, and my condolences to his friends and family.
Yeah, absolutely. Babylon 5 has kind of been hit with a lot of loss over the last couple of years from a lot of the cast. I think this is the one that, like you said, Kevin, hits close to home for a lot of true Babylon 5 fans. So,
yeah.
Our condolences out. What's interesting with Jerry Doyle, though, is if you look at like his IMDb page, that was really the only real heavy acting job he really had.
Yeah, he went into politics, I believe, didn't he?
Yeah. Politics, he was doing a political radio show at the time of his death.
Gotcha.
So, his contribution to fandom is timeless. So, we got to say thank you.
Well said, and he will be missed.
So, moving on to some happier news, I think it's happier news. We're going to find out from Kevin here.
That depends on who you ask here.
Yeah. I was going to say we're going to find out from Kevin. Yes, it's happier in that at least it's news about Star Trek, and specifically Star Trek Discovery News, as Ain't It Cool News, Harry Knowles' website, had an exclusive with some information from Brian Fuller talking, and we've got now a time frame for Star Trek Discovery. And I'll be honest with you, Kevin, I'm actually kind of in your boat here. I'm like, really?
Yeah, it looks like it's taking place before the original series, Star Trek Enterprise with Kirk and Spock. And there might be a tie to Section 31, maybe the origins of it because of the NCC number. It says NCC 1031 on the new Star Trek Discovery ship. So that was an interview, as you said, with Fuller, and that was leaked. And there's still some speculation about the plot and such, but it looks like the timeline of where this takes place is set in stone. What was your first impression when this was confirmed? Because we had done a special that we just released on the Fandom Podcast Network talking about the announcement of Star Trek Discovery, and we also did a review and in-depth discussion about the new Star Trek Beyond. But now this has been confirmed, because when we were talking about that, there was still speculation. There's no more speculation anymore. How are you feeling about this, Kyle?
Well, I mean, it was a pretty hot topic when we had our special, and I was open to a lot of areas in the timeline, something maybe a little bit closer to Next Generation, either before or after, or even something well after DS9 and Voyager and everything like that. But this is a time area that we don't need to revisit. We've had Enterprise. It seems like this is not the time area I want to visit. There's so much more area they could have covered. Now, I have to admit, I am intrigued by the possible connections to Section 31. I do find that part intrigues me, but the time area just does not get me excited. And one other note, there's more news to come out, because Brian Fuller is supposed to be doing some sort of web chat on August 10th, and he's supposed to let a lot more information out of the bag come then.
Yeah. I agree with you. It's not a part of the Star Trek history lore that I really want to know about. I agree with you also that it is the link to just talking about Section 31, if that is in case true, it does intrigue me, because that was one of the interesting things that DS9 first explored and then was, in Star Trek Into Darkness and such. I had said on our Star Trek Discovery and Beyond special that I was disappointed with the possible news that this is where it's going to happen, because if you look at the ship, it definitely feels like it's during that time frame. I was a little more optimistic about having it take place after Undiscovered Country and Peace with the Klingons, but as I said in the special, and I'll reiterate here, I'm disappointed that it does not take place after TNG and DS9 and Voyager. We talked about that and speculated on why they didn't. And Norm came up with a great response about why he thinks they're not doing it, is that they're not sure how to write that. And I can see that. And in my opinion, I think that they're playing it safe here. And I think that they're trying to appease the original series fans, because that community is still very strong and influential. But I think they're playing it way too safe here. And I'm going to reiterate what I said before. I'm tired of this going into the past thing. I know there's a lot of holes to fill when it comes to great storytelling, but I think that should be done in other mediums than a TV show. I think that they should do that with books, which they've done in the past, to fill those, tell those stories. Not being able to go forward in the future, which is what Star Trek is about, looking to the future of the opportunities that they had to work with cast members that are still living that can recreate their roles after Voyager and Deep Space Nine and Next Generation. There's just so much guest star appeal there. And, you know, whether or not they know how to write, you know, having trouble writing for that far in the future, part of me kind of disagrees with that, because you can do that if it's a good story and do that. So, but my glass half full side of me is excited that there is new Star Trek, and I'm going to give this show a chance. I did that with Enterprise because I was skeptical about that time frame, but I really did enjoy that show. I love the JJ universe. I'm just going to see how it goes, but I have to be honest with you. There's a little part inside of me that says I just can't see this show. Staying around for very long. I don't see it succeeding. I think that, you know, when Enterprise came out, there was people that wanted to see what happened after TNG and DS9 and Voyager. Great show, great cast, and it explored a lot of that history. But I don't know. Let me ask you, Kyle. Do you think it will succeed?
It's the grand experiment, because it's not only are you talking about it going to be mainly on CBS streaming, you're also talking about going to a time frame we've already covered. And I think it's, to me, it's got the feelings like we're back here again. When they did Enterprise, the way I felt about it was there was actually a little bit of hunger for that, because we got a little bit of taste of it from First Contact.
Right, right.
And I think I think there was something established and there was a little bit of a hunger for that. But now it's like, okay, we've covered that time before Kirk and Spock in that group. There's so many other time frames that, even if you're not talking about going after later in the series, after Voyager and DS9, that whole time frame between Kirk and Spock and the Next Generation, there's so much open space right there that they could have explored as well. So I feel like it's a little bit of a, like you said, they're playing it way too safe.
Yeah, I think they're playing it safe because of the popularity of the JJ verse movies.
Yeah,
and they think that it's a safe area to go. But I want to ask you one more question, and I want to actually put this out too with the fans, because I think I might try to do a poll, because I'm really curious about this, because I was flabbergasted, you know, when this was done, you know, mentioning the time frame. Because I there's for a long time, when they had mentioned there's going to be a new Trek series, I thought it was going to take place beyond of, you know, what I was expecting with the TNG and DS9 and Voyager. But let me ask you this. Are you and I in the minority here of what we wanted? I mean, I'm looking at other Star Trek, you know, websites, and I was looking at the Star Trek Trek FM Babel conference. And a lot of people were disappointed with the news as well, but of course they're like optimism. Let's just hope it's a good story, and we're going to give it a shot. Are we in the minority, Kyle, that what we wanted? I mean, do more people want it to happen during this time frame?
I think it's an easier time frame to maybe access and bring in new viewers to Star Trek. And I know that sounds a little. What do you mean, new viewers to Star Trek? I mean, we've now pretty much had a whole generation of people who haven't had Star Trek on their TV.
So because of the success of the JJ verse, I'm trying to get you to answer this question. Yeah, are we in the minority then?
Yeah, I don't want to say minority. I think it's probably more of a 50-50 split. I think you have a big section of Star Trek fans who want to see something new and fresh. But I think it's a combination of, because of the streaming format with the JJ time area being so popular, even though this show does not take place in that particular universe of Star Trek.
Yeah. Now, one last thing I want to say about this is I'm afraid of history repeating itself, because when Enterprise in Network's eyes failed, it took a long time for Star Trek to get back off the ground and to come into a television format. And a lot of people, and there was just so much time from there until now because of where it was left. And, you know, a lot of people at that time, a lot of people said that people, there was no interest for it. Interest has now gained because of the help of the recent Star Trek films. But I just don't want history to repeat itself where this show fails because they picked a time frame that, you know, did not work. And it takes them another 15, 20 years to do a TV show.
And then
by then the actors they could have all gotten for guest stars and in the current, you know, TNG and beyond universe are all getting too old to reprise the roles.
Well,
you know?
Here's the thing. I think in the way our entertainment world is today, we won't have a gap like that again with between streaming, Netflix, and Amazon, Hulu, everything like that. I think there's so many mediums now to get a Star Trek show out, whether even if it's not on TV per se, like
that's
on
a
major network. So, like I said, I that's not too much of a concern. I think even if your people aren't a fan of the time frame, if it's written well and we get some good stories out of it, even if it doesn't succeed for like but a couple of seasons, it could at least lay enough groundwork to say, okay, here's where we made some mistakes. Let's move forward.
Well, I'm going to go on with an open mind and enjoy it, and hopefully we'll get some good Star Trek out of it. We'll see. Anyway, yeah. All right, let's move on.
Well, yeah, because all of a sudden I'm getting blasted by you guys over at the Blood of Kings branch of things, saying, it's coming to you, Kyle. It's going to be in your neck of the woods. What's going on, Kevin?
What are you talking about? are you talking about a certain convention?
Yeah, all I hear about is Immortal Battles coming to just north of you in Lakeland, Florida in December, Kyle. It's coming to you. What's going on, man?
All right, Highlander fans, and we're going to cover this more in, coming up on Blood of Kings. It was announced that in Lakeland, Florida, December 3rd through 4th of this year, 2016, there's going to be a Highlander 30th anniversary gathering. And the three confirmed guests, although they say that, you know, availability could change depending on, you know, other factors. But right now we have Christopher Lambert, Connor McLeod. We have Adrian Paul, Duncan McLeod. And we have our friend F. Braun McAsh also confirmed as a guest, the Swordmaster for the Highlander TV series and Endgame. They have some ticket information on the site. It's being done by LashCon Events. And so check that out. And they have some ticket pricing on the, for these packages that you can get. They're kind of like a VIP packaging, as well as if you just want your generic, you know, 1 day or 2 day passes. It's only two days right now. The other thing I did want to mention was that according to Adrian Paul, he is planning on having his Sword Experience event there as well. But it has not been confirmed yet as of August 2nd. He did post something on, I think it was Saturday, July 29th or whatever day that was, saying that please wait for more information. We will officially announce it on the Sword Experience .com website and Facebook pages and stuff. So, I'm looking at possibly coming to this depending on my work availability. It's very busy at work for me during December. It sounds like it could be a pretty cool event, especially with the guests that they currently have lined up, the two McLeods. I mean, that's pretty darn cool if you ask me. What do you think?
Well, I'm thinking I'm still not going to be surprised if I don't get a phone call, not only from you, but a certain Mr. Lau saying, Kyle, you got to put us up in Florida.
yes. Yeah. But that's for us Highlander fans, that's big news. We, you know, when when we first started Blood of Kings and this was the 30th anniversary of Highlander, we were wondering, like, why isn't there more conventions? And I remember my interview with John Mosby, you know, do you remember what I asked him? I said, I would love to see more fan convention events. And he went in to talk about how, expensive these are and investment they are and insurance and, you know, how there were some like fan events that tried to that kind of failed over the last few years. But it sounds like when it comes to a major Highlander convention, probably, hopefully, more will come after this event. This could be a crucial event to see if Highlander has legs to continue convention-wise after this.
When you have both Adrian and Christopher there, I mean, yeah, you don't get much bigger than that unless they announce Clancy Brown in the next few weeks.
Oh, man, yeah, that would be great since he's kind of warming up to the Highlander, you know, I guess his Highlander pass since he did the 4K event. So anyway, I assuming they're working on more guests. So they kind of referred to that. Says featuring the cast from the movies and series on the main page here. So I guess they're working on other guests as well.
Okay, Kevin, I'm just going to put a nice little shout out. Elizabeth, we're your friends. Norman got FaceTime with you. You know, we're just saying.
Elizabeth Grayson to show up at this event would be great too. That would be awesome. Plus, she's still got that. She's still got her book Shillelagh that she's promoting as well. So we'll see. Yep. I'm going to pay close attention to this. We'll update you when we can. Please check with our Bloody Kings podcast for more information.
Yep. Now, a couple other quick news pieces, Kevin. One that I found very interesting is Disney kind of announced this week that they are working on a new Rocketeer film.
Yeah. Was there any casting news on that?
No casting news. It's very early in development, but The Rocketeer is kind of a warm place in my heart. I've always been a fan of that particular movie as well, because you've got Billy Campbell, who that was kind of one of his movies that brought him out onto the screen. And if you ever go back and read the IMDb history of The Rocketeer, a lot of big names in Hollywood at the time that movie came out all auditioned for that part, and here it went to basically this kind of unknown actor at the time.
Yeah, that's one of those movies that it's kind of a cult classic as well, and it's also got a great soundtrack. It's a favorite among many fans, and maybe a possible contender for a Couch Potato Theater, maybe.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and let's not forget, it was directed by Joe Johnson, who directed the first Captain America film, so he nails those kind of time pieces like that.
Yeah, and he also has Star Wars ties as well. He was one of, if I remember correctly, he was involved with the original prototype for Boba Fett as well.
Yeah.
So. He's. I'm wondering if he's going to have any say or involvement in with that. That'd be interesting. That's good though. It's a remake basically.
Well, no, it could. They're actually saying it could be a kind of a sequel.
Oh wow, that would be interesting.
So, I'll be curious to see what they do with it. But now, Kevin, there is one other kind of big piece of news.
What's that?
Did you manage to be safe and avoid bookstores on Sunday?
yeah, I guess. What's we're talking about? The release Harry Potter, the Cursed Child.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of wands and wizards floating around. One wrong spell, it wasn't safe.
What's funny about this is the release of this book had kind of gone off my radar, where in the past, when all the new Harry Potter books were coming out, I was on that, and I had gone to several of the midnight releases, and I had just gotten my daughter Camille interested in Harry Potter, and we started watching the movies. We're right now halfway through the fourth book, The Goblet of Fire. But this is interesting, though. It's not your typical J.K. Rowling release. It's actually based on the play. It's basically a script, right?
Yeah, basically it's a script novelized.
Yeah. And I think there's some mixed reviews about it, but I find it really interesting because it's based off of something that a short post that J.K. Rowling had started on Pottermore. And in 2013, about jumping forward, we're talking about Harry Potter and his family and his children. And I got a brief little synopsis here that I want to go into here. It says, in 2013, J.K. Rowling wrote a short post that has been since deleted on Pottermore, the official Harry Potter website, detailing her thoughts about using time travel as a device in literature. In the third book in the Harry Potter series, which is probably one of the most favorites as well, The Prisoner of Azkaban, Harry's friend Hermione Granger used a device called a time turner to attend multiple classes in a single hour. And the time turner later factors into the plot when Harry Potter and his friends use it to battle Dementors and help Sirius Black escape his execution. And then so she uses this as a tool in this film and ties it back to the Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire with the death of Cedric Diggory. And it's about his middle son, Albus, who is friends with Draco Malfoy's son. And it's a very – I read kind of a plot synopsis on it. I don't want to spoil it right now for those of you that have not read it and are planning on reading it. It's quite interesting. It definitely deals with time travel a lot more than we've seen. And I'm very curious about this. But I was kind of disappointed when I went to try to pick it up at Barnes & Noble. I asked for the audiobook, and apparently it's not been made yet, according to them. Because, you know, I'm an audiobook guy, so I was a little disappointed by that. What do you think?
That's a little shocking. I'm surprised they didn't have that out already. Because I'm, you know, not only with getting an audiobook that way, but also with Audible and sources like that, that just seems like the kind of book that you'd want to have out that day. But, you know, it is Harry Potter. And when you put something out with Harry Potter, it's a license to print money.
Yeah, definitely. I'm kind of curious to see how well this does, since it's, you know, not directly written by J.K. Rowling. But it's more Harry Potter's good, if you ask me. Are you happy with the future where it's set? You know, where it's in the future, and we're dealing with Harry Potter's kids, and he and Hermione and other. They're all working in, you know, the Ministry of Magic, and there's some other shenanigans going on. What do you think about this?
I think it's a natural progression, and I think it was the way to go, especially with the way the last book ended and the final movie. So. I think we're going in a good direction. We've got the Fantastic Beasts film coming out later this year too, which is kind of in the prequel mode of things. So I think we're in a good place with Harry Potter. My question will be is what will come out of this? Are we going to start talking about a movie? Is Daniel Radcliffe just kind of changed his stance that he's willing to come back and maybe do more Harry Potter?
That is a good – I think that there's a possibility of that, because this is one of those properties. I'm sure he's kind of gone off and been doing other stuff, and he's been staying busy and working and acting. All of these people that he has worked with and acted with are kind of family now, and being able to return to that universe once you've kind of done your own thing for a while, and we've seen a lot of this recently, especially, you know, with Highlander and Star Trek and all these other wonderful properties. People are kind of coming back to it, whether it's working with it again or going to conventions to promote it. Seeing Clancy Brown come out of his hibernation of promoting anything or talking about anything Highlander and visiting the 4K event in Edinburgh is a good example. You know, he's probably realizing how big it is and how important it is. And we're seeing that with Adrian as well. But, I would not be surprised if they did come back to do this, and fans would love it.
Yeah, oh, I agree. Speaking of possible movies, but new movies – Suicide Squad opens this week, Kevin. Are you ready?
I am ready. I'm really, really excited about this.
Yeah, I am. I am too. And we've had this discussion before about how we both feel about reviews. But I would be doing a disservice if I have say I've seen some of the early reviews that have been stayed away from spoilers, but they're coming back fairly mixed. And we've had this discussion. We judge for ourselves and things like that, but. That's got to be a little bit nervous for DC films, because I know they're banking heavy on this film.
Yeah, I'm seeing – let me ask you. I'm seeing people that were kind of, you know, not too impressed at first, but then the trailers have gotten a little bit better, and so people are getting a little more excited about this than they were originally, because that's where I'm coming from. What about you?
I feel like too – I think this is very similar to – to Star Trek Beyond, actually, in the aspect of the first Beyond trailer was kind of unappealing.
Yes, agreed.
And I think the trailer that hit me for Suicide Squad that kind of sold me was the quote-unquote musical soundtrack trailer with Bohemian Rhapsody and Ballroom Blitz.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Now, I think it's going to be a very fun movie. I'm excited about it. I do have some questions. I still want to see how the Joker is going to fit into all of this. I do think it's going to be a star-making film for Margot Robbie. But, you know, again, I think DC has a lot riding on this film to kind of change the image that they've been dealing with. And I think this starts it with Wonder Woman really taking it to the next level. But I'm keeping my fingers crossed for a number of reasons that this movie does at least be, you go into it and you walk out feeling entertained and feeling like you just had a good time with it. So, but I am excited. I think it's a great cast. I think it's the kind of movie that that's enough, off the wall enough with it that it could really work. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'm actually hoping that this is the movie that really helps DC kind of define where they go when they work with an ensemble cast that Marvel has done really, really well with. And it looks like they have a great cast. And I'm really actually very excited about this. I'm looking at going to the Thursday night, they have the Thursday night preview nights, and I'm kind of targeting an IMAX 3D. I really want to see what they have there. Maybe it'll be some cool Suicide Squad swag there as well.
No, there you go. Now, since we're talking about movies and our hopes, let's talk about another movie that just came out that you went and saw, and we talked about this offline, because I still want to go see this movie. I would like to take my dad to go see this movie. I'm taking my girlfriend to go see Suicide Squad. She's excited about that. But I want to take my dad to go see Jason Bourne, because he was both him and I were huge fans of the Bourne franchise. And I know the early the reviews that came out on it were good, but then I talked to you, and I'm a little scared, Kevin.
Why are you scared?
Well, why don't you go into your feelings on Jason Bourne?
I love the Bourne series. I think they're very, very cool. They've been giving us a lot of stuff that the James Bond movies have not. And it's basically the American version of our James Bond, and Matt Damon has been great with that role. And Paul Greengrass, is that his last name? The director? Have been working really well with Matt Damon on these films. I know that Matt Damon didn't want to do another one unless he was directing it, because they obviously have a rapport and they work well. And I went back and watched the Bourne films, with the exception of the one that did not star. That starred Hawkeye. I didn't go back and rewatch that one. But I watched all the Bourne because I wanted to pump myself up for it and also remember the plot lines and the characters that were involved and such. So, and I was really excited about seeing this film. Honestly, I walked away a little underwhelmed. I felt like I was a little disappointed with it, I guess. I'll be honest with you. And here's why. If you look back on the Bourne films, and I think the first one still is my favorite, there's a formula to them. And it always starts off with, Bourne on the run, Bourne being chased by an asset, aka an assassin, led by someone high up in the CIA that's controlling things, helped with a female lead, and great hand-to-hand combat fight scenes, and your car chase that is also very, exhilarating and done really, really well, and one of the highlights of the film. You got that with this film, but the plot just kind of seemed the same as the last couple of them. And I didn't get the next chapter or development that I was looking for. There is, I don't want to give the plot away, but there is reference to Bourne's past and a family member, which was the kind of new twist in this. But you still had the same thing. You still had another person that steps into the secret CIA position that wants Bourne to go down, or they're going to use him for whatever they can and then kill him. And there's an assassin after him. There's help from a woman. And then there's your fight scenes, which, depending on where you stand, sometimes can be tough to watch because they have that herky jerky kind of camera movement. And then the, you know, the big car chase scene. And I was hoping for some kind of closure in this one because I'm not expecting another Matt Damon Bourne film, but they kind of left it open-ended and very little closure. I kind of wanted to see something kind of end, and I didn't get that. When it came to the fight scenes, I'd seen better in previous ones. When it came to the car crash or the car chase scene, I was expecting something more, and that one's a little underwhelming as well. So, yeah, I was a little disappointed, to be honest with you. If you like those movies, I say go ahead and see it because they are entertaining, they are fun, but the overall scheme of things, I'll leave that up to you guys to figure out. But for me, I walked away a little disappointed.
Well, and that's kind of the general gist I've been hearing about it. So, yeah, like we always said, go see it for yourself and make your own judgment. All we can do is give you our honest opinion. So, now, Kevin, not a lot of Star Wars news this week, which I know makes you sad. But we did have at least a new Rogue One TV spot. I mean, it was all footage we've pretty much seen before. But
it was all footage we've seen before.
I'm starting to think we're never going to see another trailer for this film.
Well, it was like, you know, okay, so they say, okay, we've finally released a TV spot. But it's like everyone that wants to see this is already seen, you know, the teaser trailer. So you basically, the teaser trailer, which was was a minute and 30 seconds. You now, they took parts of that and just made it 30 seconds. So it's to be done. So the people that don't go out and see movies as much or watching TV, they'll get some, you know, some reference to it. And they will also get, maybe excited about it through that venue of watching television and stuff. But, for us big Star Wars fans, it was nothing new, you know?
Pretty much. So
it would have been nice, though, if they did throw in a little tidbit to get us excited. I guess they're waiting. As much as I want to see more, I'm kind of glad that I'm not, because I know that they are waiting for their time to release the new information, whether it's, you know, the Force Friday. I think they're planning on doing Force Friday again. Probably, I think was that in September last year, if I remember correctly? Yeah, it was right around Dragon Con. I remember that. So they're probably going to do something with Force Friday. They are going to release stuff, but they're kind of waiting, I think, too, maybe for the reshoots to get done, because that was supposed to have been done in July. So we'll see. You know, we're going to get what we want. We just got to be patient and wait.
So since we don't have a lot of Star Wars news, Kevin, you know, we've kind of put some warnings out to some of our more non-sports fan listeners that this was coming. And it's official because training camps have opened and there's certain sounds in the air, Kevin, and it means one thing. The NFL is back.
Which, yes,
the Raider nerd is reborn. And Kevin, just before we get into this conversation, if I have to read one more article about the Raiders are the young up and coming team in the NFL, I'm going to go have to puke. So,
you know, it's funny is I can't get enough of that. And I've been watching some of the same, for you non-sports fans out there, bear with us. This is something that Kyle and I are very passionate about. And I know we have a lot of sports fans that do listen to our show here. But, when it comes to our teams, we're very passionate about it. And my team has been mired in mediocrity, even less than mediocrity, over the last decade or so. And now things are looking up, and our Oakland Raiders are making better decisions, and everyone's getting on everyone's getting on the Raiders are going to be the surprise team and possibly make their first playoff appearance in over a decade, and people keep talking about it, and we look so great on paper, and it's so, as being a Raider fan, it's great to hear, but I want to see those translate to wins.
Yeah, well, wait, now I was just going to say, what is this Oakland Raiders you talk about? I thought it was the Las Vegas Raiders.
Maybe in a couple of years it might be, if the city of Oakland doesn't make something happen. But I'm not worried about that right now, because as the team itself, we're building and we're doing well. And according to people right now, our biggest competition is going to be your team, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. Now, and I just want our listeners to rest assured, Kevin and I get along, we love each other, we're brothers and everything like that. But, you know, when it comes to football, things get a little sarcastic, might get a little snarky. My favorite team is the Kansas City Chiefs. His favorite team is the Oakland Raiders. Their rivalry is a blood rivalry that goes back to the 1960s.
We're in the same, we're in the same division, and we've had some heated games. But you know, what we want to say is that for you sports fans, we're looking at doing an NFL weekly roundup, a short podcast that we're going to be releasing once a week. And you know, the other thing that we have invested as well is that Kyle is going to be joining two of my fantasy football leagues that I am the commissioner of. And so we're going to have a little extra competitiveness going on there as well. And we'll be fun talking about that and draft picks and, you know, hot waiver wire pickups. So now this is basically the sports version of Dungeons and Dragons. So, so we're going to give that a shot, see how it goes. If you fans out there have any suggestions and what you want to see and what you expect and you want to hear from that, that weekly show, let us know. We're not sure what we're going to call it yet. We're going to talk about that. Maybe one of the things we can do before Dragon Con, Kyle. But yeah, it's something that passionate to us, and I'm excited about that.
Now, just remember, Kevin, your number one pick is RG3.
Yeah, right.
any Cleveland Brown, you're good. I promise you, you're good.
Yep. Right, okay, gotcha.
So, you know, and we are going to do a special about fantasy football as well, kind of just our thoughts and maybe we'll talk about our experiences getting ready for the draft or after our drafts because, you know, we don't want to give away too many secrets.
Understood, yes. Yeah, there will be some competitiveness going on and, you know, we may make some suggestions on what to draft and go for while at the same time trying to do that before Kyle does.
I promise you this, you will get high-end entertainment out of it.
Yes. I saw something on Facebook saying that this last Sunday was the last Sunday that will not include will not have football starting this coming week and so on, where we have the preseason games coming up. There's four preseason games, and then it will launch into the regular season. I think they're going to do it on the Thursday night. There's always have a doubleheader, and I'm excited. The Raider nerd's gonna like Dumbledore's Phoenix is gonna raise out of the ashes and come out to live again. So yeah,
well, that is until Facebook smacks you down again. But.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's neither here nor there, but yeah. So you know. Now we're going to be talking some football, but we have other great things on the network coming up and going on as we speak. Couch Potato Theater, our newest show.
Yeah.
Still rocking Transformers the movie with Davis Grayson and John Mills, but August, it's all about the Megaforce, baby.
Yeah, buddy, Megaforce. You and I and Davis are going to be recording this one coming up later this week. I'm really excited about this. This is my pet project that I wanted to do, and when I heard that you were excited about doing it, I was like, yes, awesome. We both are passionate about this project, and we're going to be doing this Megaforce Couch Potato in two parts this time. We're going to be doing a retrospective first, a little history of it, our history of our fandom with it, but we're going to be talking about the actors, production, and we're talking about the music, the merchandise, and some trivia as well. And for those of you that have not seen and don't know what Megaforce is about, we're going to get into that and maybe get some new fans out of this as well. And then the second part is going to be released. We're actually going to do a film commentary of it. We may not do film commentaries for all of our Couch Potato chosen cult classic movies, but this one screams for it. So we're going to do it.
Absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now we move on. We got the Phantom Flashback, Robotech. We've gotten some amazing episodes, an amazing interview with Richard Epcar. Harmony Gold stepped up to the plate big time and gave us an amazing interview, no holds barred. We're hopefully going to have one more episode of at least of Robotech on the Flashback coming out. We're going to get together with some of our Australian friends and discuss the RPG and some of the other things that have come out for Robotech. But the next Flashback is also in the works, Kevin.
Yeah, what are we going to be doing for that? I noticed we were kind of throwing some stuff out, but I have a feeling, but why don't you say?
Well, we're going to go visit a certain space station. And it's fitting, especially with what we started off our news with. Babylon 5 is our next Phantom flashback. Yes, and even though he's on vacation out in doing wineries in California, you are hearing Norman screaming in the background.
Yes. Babylon 5 for Phantom flashback, and Norman's going to be spearheading that. Norman is a huge Babylon 5 fan, and as I mentioned earlier in the show, I have just started revisiting it, and I'm really enjoying it. Just a great show, and it was also ahead of its time when it came to storytelling and special effects, which I think is great, and makeup too. Just a lot of really great special guests that I've seen in other science fiction shows as well that have made their rounds for there. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. The flashbacks have been a lot of fun, and hopefully we're going to deliver something special for you all again with Babylon 5.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin, why don't you catch us up on what's going over at the Blood of Kings side of things?
Yeah, right now we've just released the first of two episodes of my trip from the Highlands, talking about visiting locations. We called the first episode that's out now called Homeland, and Norman interviews me about my trip there. And specifically, it's called Homeland because of the episode Homeland in the Highlander TV series that Adrian Paul directed, where he actually went to Scotland to film scenes there. And there's a couple of iconic filming locations there. Castle Tirum, that I'm calling the Connor MacLeod Castle, that he that you see more than once in that. And also Glenfinnan, which is referred to in the TV show as well as the original Highlander film, which is where the Clan MacLeod, was located. And in the second episode, it'll be coming a week later, I talk about my visit to the Eileen Donan Castle visit, which is the Clan MacLeod Castle in the film that you see in the original Highlander. Beautiful castle. And then I also talk about in that episode the real Clan MacLeod Castle, which is Castle Dunvegan in the Isle of Skye, Scotland. So you guys are in for a treat if you want to hear where these are now. And the best part about these two shows is my adventure to get there, because it was for Castle Tirum, it was very interesting, and I go into that a lot. And it was just fun to relive that trip and have Norm's enthusiasm asking me these questions. And hopefully you'll enjoy them. And I've got some tips if you plan on visiting Scotland. And if you guys have any questions about that, please ask me.
Yeah, and when Kevin leaves us to join the Travel Channel for his new show of castles and beheadings.
Well said, buddy. Well said.
So we also have our newest movie special up, which we talked about a little bit earlier in the news segment as well, where we discussed Star Trek Beyond, our thoughts on it. We also did some discussion about Star Trek Discovery. As you know, we've done movie specials with different fandom type movies over the past that have hit the theaters. And I think, Kevin, I can safely say the next for sure one will be in December when Rogue One hits.
Yeah, definitely. And a possibility, maybe sooner than expected, this Suicide Squad movie.
Yes, I think with this one, we're kind of waiting to see what we see on Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're a lot of fun. We get together with some friends. We talk about the film, talk about what we enjoyed, what we did, what maybe we thought could have been a little better, what really stood out. But they're always a lot of fun.
Please, if you haven't had a chance to listen to our Star Trek Beyond and Star Trek Discovery discussion, please check that out. Especially Norman's insight. He is very passionate about especially the original series genre, which these movies cover. And he has some great insight to, the JJ verse and what's going to, possibly happen in the future with the new Star Trek TV series.
Absolutely. And, if you want to kind of get a feel for what we do besides Star Trek, you can always go back in the archives, because we did Deadpool, and we had the crazy man himself, Cat Seater, was part of that one.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Please go back and check out those. We did one for Civil War as well. So, yeah. Oh, man. I love doing these, and I'm excited. I'm excited about doing more of these, because, they're kind of on the cuff at times, and we kind of decide whether or not a movie – warrants a show for itself, but if it hits us personally and we think that we need to talk about it more, we're going to do it. So, and if there's a special out there, you guys, you fans that are listening too, that you'd like to see that's coming up, please let us know.
Exactly. Which brings us to about a month away. Kevin, we're having a little meetup in Atlanta. There's a little event.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's Dragon Con. we're trying to figure out now. We want to have a kind of a listener meetup, if you know it warrants it, and we want to kind of ask you guys that are listening to us that if this is, you know, if you would like to do this, and if there's a particular time it would be best to target. I know there's so much that goes on during Dragon Con. It's tough to pick a time, the perfect time to do this, but we want to do this for the listeners. So please let us know. And, you know, Kyle, is there anything in particular that you would like to, you know, share regarding that?
We're bouncing around ideas, trying to figure out a good time for that. And yeah, we do need the listener input for that. But, you know, Dragon Con's a great gathering place for fans, and we would love to be able to meet some of you who are listening to us, and just to be able to tell you thank you.
Yes, definitely.
And get your input, because I'm gonna let a little cat out of the bag. I kind of keep track of our numbers, and July was absolutely an amazing month for us, Kevin.
Yeah, dude.
We set some records around here, so we're feeling good. But we want to say thank you to the fans, and we'd like to.
No, wait, hold on. What records did we set? Well, Let the listeners know.
We kind of set our all-time feed hit record, which for some of you who may not realize, when we have a feed hit, that means that somebody, it's whether it's a download or somebody streamed us. That's how many feed hits our shows get for that period. And for the month of July, we kind of shattered our previous record, and we shattered the previous month as well.
So hold on. So July, we had our best month, right?
Correct.
July, where I was gone for most of July, we had our best, right?
Well, I was not trying to put it that way, but... But but we're gonna put it in this way, Kevin. Just think of how much our record would have been even higher if somebody would have worn their Fandom Podcast Network shirt while they were up asking Mark Hamill questions.
I'm not gonna hear the end of that, am I?
No, you're really not.
Oh man! Well, you know, I'll tell you, it pays to record. Some episodes ahead of time, so we had some material to go out there. But you guys did an awesome job holding down the fort and getting some guests and just keeping the Fandom Podcast jumping. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's just the clicking slime is so hard to clean up. So I think it's time we need to tell everybody how they can get a hold of us, where they can find us.
You can listen
to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, or on the Google Play app. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network. We also have a group page on Fandom Podcast Network. We want you to be a part of it. Please join the group. That's where you're going to get all the news as far as meetups, contests, things we're doing here. So,
yeah.
Now, Kevin, how can they email us?
FandomPodcastNetwork@gmail.com. We want to see a little more traffic on this. We love getting emails, and if you have any suggestions or feedback, please do so. Check us out there. And on Twitter, we're at FanPodNetwork. Kyle, where can they find you on Twitter?
They can find me at AKyleW, or, you know, just follow the smell.
you can find me at Spartan_Phoenix. Norman on Twitter, you can find him at Starfighter1701. Of course, one of our newest members, Davis Grayson, is on Twitter as at Davis Grayson. But we also wanted to remind people to please go to the Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes and please leave a review. I know you hear this a lot on if you listen to other podcasts, but it really does help people find us. And we appreciate a 4-star review, but we want you to be honest as well. But please do that. Take the time to do that. We'd love to hear that. And if you do leave a review, we will read it on the next show, because we like bragging about that, and we like you know, sharing your feedback on that. So please do so. And well, please also Blood of Kings, find us there as well, at Blood of Kings, a Highlander fandom group, and email us at bloodofkingspodcast@gmail.com and Twitter at Blood of Kings Pod.
And Kevin, I'm just going to throw this out as far as iTunes reviews go. If we start seeing some increases in numbers there, it might lead to something very special being rewarded out at some point. So,
oh, you mean some prizes for some lucky people that have left reviews, right?
Yeah, and you know, some people might say it's bribery. I just call it incentive. It's, you know.
I have no problem calling it bribery. I'm fine with that. So, I mean, yeah, we'll have to do that because I know I've got some things that I can give away. I know we'll be at Dragon Con. We can find some fun stuff there as well. But yeah, that would be great, man. That would be fun. Please leave us reviews. We'd love to get them.
So, Kevin, it's about that time. So what do you got for us this week?
Well, I'm going to sign off. I'd like to say, may the Force be with you. Live long and prosper. And I'm known to be quite vexing. I'm just forewarning you.
And on that note, I'm just going to remind everybody that, hey, we're not the good guys. We're the bad guys.
Nice.
Well, all I gotta say is now, take us out, Space Cowboy.
I think it's time we blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Jabba. Oh, Jabba.